Cool. Awesome. Well, welcome to the call today. I'm really excited for you guys to join. I love doing these. So I get to prepare information that I just like really love to know about and learn more about and practice for myself and share with all of you guys. And so it's really fun to, yeah, just like have this dynamic of sharing the info and hopefully you guys feeling like inspired and like educated to make some new healthy changes for yourself. So today's talk is on prana. And so I guess before we dive into that, I'm going to introduce myself to, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Anna Welly, and I'm an Ayurveda practitioner and a yoga health coach. And I studied Ayurveda for about 3 years through a school in California called Kerala Academy that's also affiliated with a hospital and the hospital and, like, university system in India. And so I did an internship in India about a year ago and learned a lot more up there about, like, the clinical aspects of Ayurveda and body therapies and treatments and Panchakarma, which is, like, a full-body detox therapy. And most recently, I have been studying with Kate Stillman from yogahealer.com, and she's more of an evolutionary Ayurveda leader. She has her own Ayurveda school that's more on the kind of modern edge of Western lifestyle, which is really awesome. So I get to bridge the kind of two, and I'm being certified to be a yoga health coach, which is basically coaching people through, I have a 10-week program, and I coach them through a series of different Ayurveda lifestyle practices, with the assistance of habit science change and how to make changes in your life in a really sustainable, like, effective way, all centered around Ayurveda lifestyle, which is really awesome. So that's kind of me in a nutshell. And what I want to talk to today is kind of like drop into prana and I guess a little background of Ayurveda. Ayurveda is based in a really simple way. It's based off of five elements in nature: space, air, fire, water, and earth. And from these elements, these five elements exist in basically all things, so from one degree to the other. And we can find ways to attune ourselves to nature and create more balance by looking at these different elements through the qualities and the things within ourselves and the qualities around us. So, for instance, Margie, who's on the call, said that it's rainy and cold in Minnesota, so she probably wants more, like, heat and warmth in her life, so she said she made a hot cup. So that's like an Ayurveda practice of just creating more warmth when it's cold outside. And the opposite might be true with for Carrie, said it's warm. She's in Southern California. And if it's, like, a really hot day, she might, like, go to the beach to cool off or just have, like, a cold beverage with cold water and maybe even add some ice. And so it's like she's just seeking balance within her body based on the qualities of the things that she's consuming or surrounding herself with. From these five elements, there's three doshic energies that arise. There are Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. And Vata represents space and air. Pitta represents fire and water. And Kapha represents water and earth. And from these three doshic energies that most people who practice yoga in depth or have a little understanding of Ayurveda is like very familiar with these terms. And these terms, these energies, these doshas are prevalent in everything in life, just like the elements are. And so from these five or these three doshas, the sub-doshas, like the very like finite subtle essences, are prana, tejas, and ojas. And prana arises from vata, and more specifically from air. Pitta arises, or tejas arises from pitta, and it's predominantly fire. And ojas arises from kapha, and ojas is predominantly water. And these like really subtle essences are ways we can really get fine-tuned into how we're feeling in our body, or our mind and soul, and where we can make enhancements. So today's talk is going to be predominantly on prana, the one aspect of the three sub-doshas. And last month we talked about ojas. So if anyone's interested more about the kind of subtle essences of kapha, the like sweetness and the glow and the easiness and the immunity and things like that, you can check out the recording on the website. But so for prana, let's get into prana. What I'd like to kind of first like presence into is what it feels like when we don't have prana operating in the most optimal way in our body. There's three ways that prana can be experienced in an unhealthy manner. It can be either displaced, it can be there can be a lack of prana, or it could be that it's not like properly processed. There can be an excessive amount of prana. So when prana is displaced, it can be kind of like stuck or moving in the improper ways through improper channels in either the lower or the upper body. And the symptoms of that can be, and I'm going to read straight from the textbook of Ayurveda from Dr. Vasant Lad, Volume 2, really awesome book. So he says that some of the symptoms of displaced prana can be scattered energy, anxiety, fear, and nervousness, fatigue, exhaustion, irrelevant talk, improper decisions, indecisiveness, negative thoughts, confusion, illusion, delusion, hallucinization, restless foot syndrome, rapid heartbeat, or repeated picking of the nose or fingernails. And so basically what happens, I think, when our prana gets displaced is our energy is really scattered and we get really easily like worn out and exhausted. And we're not able to basically pull in and focus on either a certain task at hand or focus on like bigger goals or aspirations we have in our life or just like focus on things that are rising in the moment. So it's like our energy, our effort, our progress is really diluted and dispersed. And when this happens, it could become much less impactful in any area of life where it's showing up. And we lose, like, our potency or, like, our punch or power. It's like there's the dispersity and the, like, scatteredness is just, like, diluting that which we are and that energy that we have. And so for, like, in our work life, it means that we just, like, aren't getting as much done as we could, or we're not creating things of superior quality that we're nowhere capable of. We're not showing up in the best way, and we're not, like, affecting the change that we essentially, like, seek in ourselves. We're not really living at our full potential. So that can all just be from displaced prana. And decreased prana arises when we have also an imbalance of the ojas and the tejas, but also can be based on different lifestyle practices or like the foods that we're eating. So a decreased prana, as written from Dr. Vasant Lad in the textbook of Ayurveda, says some signs and symptoms include extreme exhaustion, shock, congestive heart failure, bluish discoloration of your lips and nails, breathlessness, loss of consciousness, depression, melancholy, a lack of inspiration, a heavy, dull feeling, and lack of creativity. So I feel like when you're experiencing this like lack of prana in your life, what can happen is you can make you can go one way or the other. You can, you know, seek help or guidance into, you know, and support into creating like better choices to get yourself out of the lack of vitality that you're experiencing, or it can build on itself and you can kind of like downward spiral into making the problem worse. And some of those things probably include like relying on a lot of caffeine or sugary foods to like gain that like energy and zest that you need. Might be eating a lot of processed foods or just kind of having like a tendency to like unplug or check out or like needing to drop away. And it can close off, you know, ourselves from like being that more connected in our taking part in our lives, whether that be through relationships or through work or job or career. It might be like closing off or ignoring your creative urges, your like need to kind of like be an active creative member in your life. And you might feel like really stuck or sluggish or just have the blahs. And when that happens, it's like you can continually perpetuate that. And it can lead to weight gain, to having like more heaviness or inertia, or just that like slow, kind of like tired, kind of like a feeling of like withdrawal from life. And the last kind of main way of experiencing unhealthy prana is just prana that's unprocessed. And how it works is basically the amount of vata, pitta, or kapha that we have in our own body, the amount that we're born with, relates to the ratio of how much prana in our body that we can hold. So if you're already a vata individual, if you already have a lot of space and air in your nature, if you're already like really creative and you get excited really easily and you have a lot of energy that fluctuates, if you're kind of irregular and sporadic and you tend towards insomnia or dry skin or like dry brittle hair, or you tend to be on the thinner side, you have either really small teeth or really big teeth, like things like that that represent that you have a lot of vata already in your health, you actually are able to carry and hold a lot more prana. People who have more kapha in their system, more earth and water, they have more slow tendencies and like more of like an easy, stable nature. If they have just like a heavier, denser body type and have more of like a slow, steady kind of persona, they hold less prana naturally in their being. They hold more ojas. So if basically there's excessive or unprocessed prana in your body, some of the signs and symptoms that you can experience would include restlessness, hyperventilation, breathlessness, hyperactivity, dizziness, insomnia, fear, anxiety, anguish, indecisiveness, excitation, spaciness and ungroundedness, cracking and popping of joints, arthritis, a lack of direction or no goals, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, and then other just conditions of like really high excess vata. So that's kind of the doom and gloom of having prana show up in the not the best ways in our body. And these all arise based off of, most often it arises based out of lifestyle practices of how you create structure in your day or create like daily rhythms or consistency in your day. And then also different things that can basically unbalance vata, such as being in a lot of cold environment without feeling warmth, feeling like you're in a ungrounded, spaced out environment, eating a lot of cold, raw foods, or not getting enough sleep or staying up too late, being in a very stimulating atmosphere, being around a lot of loud noise. A lot of these things are some of the reasons why we experience either displaced or decreased or unprocessed prana. So what I want to rather focus on is solutions to helping you feel better. First I can give an example of like what's been going on for me with a nice example of like having like a lot of displaced prana. is last week I moved into a new house, and I suppose most people might connect with this, is like moving can be kind of stressful. And so I packed up everything from my old house and put everything in boxes and kept it as like organized and like mellow as I could, and then moved into a new place, and then just kind of had like, you know, it's like moving to a new house, everything is in like disarray, and everything feels like really scattered and unorganized and like unstable. And so I was feeling like, besides having just like to deal with a new move, we had to find a new roommate, and then I still have like work going on in my life, and it's like all of these is kind of like different distractions and demands and different stresses coming in without having that like baseline like foundation of where, you know, what my home is and like how my daily rhythm is going. And so I started to feel like really restless and stressed out and kind of anxious, and I wasn't sleeping very well. And so it only took a few days. I kind of like essentially ended up getting settled in after a few days of like the move, and I was able to fall back into my regular like daily practice of my morning ritual of just sitting in meditation and doing like 20, 30 minutes of a yoga practice, having my regular breakfast at my regular time, you know, going through my day, my afternoon as usual, and then falling into my nighttime routine and just having dinner at the same time and relaxing in the evening and then doing my nighttime ritual, shower, self-massage, and going to bed like a decent hour. And it took a few days of having to settle back into my dinacharya, my lifestyle routine, to like really contain and balance that flow of prana that had gotten like so disrupted, and like feel a sense of release and ease, and like letting go of that like stress and like anxiety and like restlessness of like my, I could just feel like my prana going everywhere, and I was like, oh my god, like I'm ready, I'm like speaking on this topic in a few days, and I'm like not even feeling successful in it within myself. It's kind of hilarious, but that's life, and like that's how things show up. And it's like when we have these tools to assist us, it just makes it like that much easier to bring us back into our center. So yeah, that's one of the first solutions I want to share with you, is dinacharya. And dinacharya is Sanskrit for daily rhythm. And it's a really, really big part of Ayurveda in essentially creating your consistent regular schedule in life and your regular flow. And when you have this like regular flow, this like structure, it creates the foundational basis for allowing the energy to be specifically directed and flow in like the most optimal ways. When our meal times or our rising times or going to sleep times are random and constantly in flux and changing, our body isn't able to create that like strong, consistent rhythmic pattern, and it gets the strength of that is diluted. And so like the strength of how the prana can flow is basically weakened or can be misdirected depending on the day. And so that can, like, over a long period of time, can lead to that displaced prana being, like, greater and greater. So to create a dinacharya in your beautiful, like, morning ritual or daily routine is to start with a really nice morning ritual that can be something like wake up, brush your teeth, scrape your tongue, have some hot water with lemon, do a meditation, a pranayama, do a little bit of exercise, and then have breakfast. And when you especially do this in the morning, from the times of about 5 a.m. to 7 a.m., it really assists in the downward flow of prana, the downward flow of vata, the pranavayu, which can help relieve constipation, your cramps during your period, if you have like skanti urination or ungroundedness. Like just specifically doing this morning routine consistently every day will really assist in allowing, help relieving those remedies and allowing the prana to flow in and help you feel more energized. And then for an evening ritual, what's really important is for you to just kind of like wind down and close off the day. And so during, from about 6 p.m. to 10 p.m., if you kind of just start going into more relaxed state of being and have like an evening walk, You can relax with your friends or family. Maybe just like relax and read a book, write, do like a puzzle, or just kind of chill out, take a bath, do a self-massage, maybe like light some candles, and go into like meditation practice, do some journaling, and go to sleep at the same time. It's like a really solid way to like build more of that stable rhythm in your day. And then the third part is to have consistent meal times, which is huge for balancing the vata and creating the consistent, stable prana. So consistent meal times are to have essentially your main meal around noon, and then two meals, potentially you can have two meals on either side, a breakfast and a dinner. But you want to make those meals at the same time, at the most same time as possible, to build up your digestive fire and the pitta in your body, to basically help create more of like a healthy, balanced fire to resist or to prevent any of the chances that your channels will be blocked and discourage the flow of prana through your body. So if you need help doing that, one simple trick is to also eat some fresh raw ginger before your prescribed or your optimal meal time. So through this like repetition in your ritual, it allows your system to create more strength and stability, which creates like stronger channels and allows the prana and energy to flow in the right direction and flow strongly. The next example of ways to get more prana in your life is to have a high prana diet. And the kind of two polarities of where we can go with this are either the SAD diet, the standard American diet, versus a high prana plant-based diet. And the standard American diet is typically a lot of processed foods. It might even be some fast foods, but it's usually like quick and simple meals, a lot of processed starches and grains, processed sugar, and it might include like frozen vegetables, canned vegetables, maybe even instant meals, or just eating out at most average restaurants, unless you're seeking out places that have, you know, organic local produce or something like that, it's pretty much going to be a low prana type situation. Whereas the opposite side of high prana diet is just finding the foods that have that, like, that more, like, life force. And so the foods with the highest amount of life force are something that's going to grow wild in your nearby environment, in your nearby ecosystem. So something that's growing wild is going to be in a diverse ecosystem, so it's going to be really balanced by the other plants within its environment, and it's going to have a more nutrient-dense soil because it hasn't been monocropped and potentially even sprayed with herbicides or pesticides. And that plant's also thriving in the natural environment in which you live. And so it's going to have that ability to, like, adapt and flourish in its natural environment. And you get to take that on, that prana and that vitality of, like, what that plant is experiencing in this environment in which you live. So a step down from that might be going to a local farmer's market, preferably organic, but something that's, like, locally produced and really freshly picked. Or having vegetables that you grow in your backyard, which is really, really high in prana and that vital, like, life essence. Just having freshly prepared food is another great step. If you get your vegetables or fruits from the grocery store, if you prepare them fresh that day and eat them, you'll be retaining more prana in your system. And the last part would be to basically have more fruits and vegetables in general rather than, like, the actual processed food, whether despite where you're getting them from, if they're from, like, monocrop farms or from fresh local farms or from your own farm. The next example I have is to do a breath body practice to bring more prana into your life, and that essentially is kind of doing just, like, exercise, and exercise that focuses upon the amount of breath that you're taking in. And prana, its most basic level, is really represented in the most simple way of the breath and the oxygen that we take into our body. So if you have the opportunity to take in this, like, do an exercise and take in this breath in a very focused kind of intentional manner, you'll experience more prana throughout your whole body, throughout the whole rest of the day, and in life in general. And ideally what you want to do is take in prana through the breath as your first meal of the day. So you're doing it even before breakfast in the early morning, like around between 7 and 9 a.m. And so one, you know, some examples of how you could do this would be just to do a little morning walk. You know, you have to take your animal outside, your dog outside for a walk in the morning, and you just like kind of walk at a good pace and just like breathe it in and take in the fresh air. You could do yoga or go out on your bike or go for a jog, maybe do some Tai Chi or do some dancing. Whatever it is for you, it's just like you're moving that prana and like awakening all of the cells within your system. And by awakening these cells, you're also bringing in that movement's bringing in the fire. And it's like burning off anything that you don't need. And it's creating a more intelligent, system. It's like the breath connects the cells within your being and creates the connectivity, creates communication. And a well-connected body, thriving on communication, creates natural, better choices for yourself. So if you wake up and you're breathing deep and you're doing like a wonderful little exercise, all the choices that you make for the rest of the day will be that much more intelligent and refined to be more optimal for your entire system. If you can't do it in the morning too, it's like completely fine. Just a little bit of exercise every day we know is optimal. And the other example or other suggestion is to alternate between soft, medium, or hard practices. And a hard practice when you exercise is something where you're like really pushing yourself, and it might include like more like weight training or CrossFit or something like that, where you're like really pushing the level of what your body can do, and it's creating more of a fire in your body. Whereas if you do a soft exercise, such as more like gentle walking or swimming or stretching, that's what's allowing the prana to move into the cells and create more of the connectivity. So you want to balance in between the two, and a typical pattern would be to do two easy or medium days followed by one hard day. So you'd go easy, easy, medium, and the next day you'd go easy, next day easy, and then again hard. So you're alternating for what your body experiences to make sure that the prana is still getting into your muscles and your cells without getting too like constricted or closed off. And if an example of that, just if you think of like what a bodybuilder looks like, they're like only doing hard practices, their bodies are going to be like really stiff and kind of tough. Whereas someone that's more into maybe like yoga or just like gentle walking, they're probably going to have a little bit of like a softer physical presence. And so the last example I have for you to bring more prana into your life is to practice pranayama. And pranayama literally means the control of vital life force. Prana being the vital life force essence, and yama meaning to control. So what I would like to do is do a little practice with you guys of Nadi Shodhana, which is alternate nostril breathing. And the alternate nostril breathing balances both the right and left sides of your brain and body. It's kind of like bringing the yin and yang, or masculine and feminine, the hot and the cold, into greater balance. Just by controlling the way the breath enters into your body, and it stimulates at the top of our nasal passage, where our nasal cavity meets the top of our throat, is also like the direct access into our the primal center in our brain, and where the pineal gland is also like located. And so through focusing the breath in this way, we're doing so much for our body and for our mind, including like creating deeper relaxation, deeper connectivity, deeper access to creative, our creative center, and just creating relaxation in general. So if you guys want to do some pranayama, some Nadi Shodhana, I invite you to put your phone on speaker if you can, and so that way you can set it down and have your hands free. And if you can't put your phone on speaker, then if you just want to put your phone into your left hand, that's great. And take a comfortable seat. If you're sitting on the floor, you can sit cross-legged. If you're sitting in a chair, you can put your feet flat on the ground and just like rest them evenly on the floor. And just allow your seat, your butt to sink into your seat and feel really supported. And sit tall and take a meditative posture. With your right hand, you're going to close off the index and middle finger towards your palm so that your thumb and your ring finger are sticking up straight. And you can go ahead and close your eyes. And then bring your thumb to your right nostril. And you're going to pinch off your right nostril with your thumb. And then slowly exhale through your left nostril. Then slowly inhale through your left nostril. Now switch fingers and have your ring finger pinch off your left nostril. And exhale through your right nostril. And inhale through your right nostril. When the breath is complete, you can pinch your right nostril with your thumb. And then exhale through your left nostril. Inhale through your left nostril. And then pinch the left side and exhale through the right nostril. And then keep going at your own pace, just alternating through each nostril. So we'll inhale through the right. And feel the breath expand from the base of the spine and the deepest part of your belly. Allow the breath to travel all the way up into your chest, into your throat, and into the top of your head, all the way up your spine. And you pinch the other side and exhale, letting the breath drop down through the body, releasing everything that you can let go of. And then inhale through the left, pull the breath into the base of the belly, base of the spine. Fill the lungs to the throat. Fill everything all the way to the top of your head. And pause, pinch, and exhale. Just keep going at your own pace, making the breath slow, steady and full. And when that feels complete for you, I invite you just to rest your hands on your lap for a minute. With your eyes still closed, just feel into the sense of balance or refreshment or ease or energy, whatever it is that was created for you. Just feel into that. And then when you feel ready, you can slowly open your eyes and come back into the space in your room or wherever you are. So that is the practice of pranayama. And there's a variety of different types of pranayama that you can do. Like I said, that one is just to help balance the ida and pingala, the right and left sides of the brain, and the kind of cooling or heating manners within our body. But there's more vigorous practices that can be done as well, like Bhastrika, bellows breath, where you pump your belly and can get all kinds of prana and oxygen and air flowing through your system to really wake you up and energize you. This one just happens to be more balancing for pretty much everyone. So, yeah, that's essentially, those are my four main tips for you guys into creating more of a consistent, stable flow of energy, of prana, through your life by creating the dinacharya of a daily rhythm, with having a really specific morning ritual, having your meal times at the same time every day, and having another evening ritual to create more of a winding down energy and a more consistent bedtime. And then to have a high prana diet with eating as like local and fresh as you possibly can, freshly prepared food, and weaning away or consuming less and less of the processed foods on a standard American diet or the fast foods or frozen foods and things like that. And then creating a daily body breath practice through exercise and alternating between soft, medium, and hard days to make sure that you're getting a lot of the prana into like the deeper areas in your muscle tissue. And lastly, to do a pranayama practice. What I would like to say is that making these changes and just to experience more of like the prana and tejas and ojas at an optimal level, it can take a lot of time and commitment and guidance. And this call, I feel like, can be an inspiring way to experience more, but it's just kind of, it's an easy way to experience motivation, but motivation isn't a reliable factor in imparting a real, stable, long-lasting change. And what really takes is small, consistent, really persistent steps that are easy and attainable for you to do. So that reoccurring success in your new lifestyle changes is based upon steps that are so small and easy to take that it will eventually bring you to your desired goal. So it's like you're letting go of like the stress and the overwhelm or the feeling of like a massive separation from where you're currently at in your desired state. So you're having a plan, basically a consistent, persistent plan on really small, easy ways that you can make changes to achieve the higher goal. And that's what I've basically been trained on as a yoga health coach, is to help people actually make these changes using scientific habit change. We use the Kaizen approach theory. And the course that I'm offering, Soul Body Bliss, it takes you through 10 different Ayurveda lifestyle practices, part of what I've mentioned today here in the call, with a lot more in-depth background information, because each one is focused on for about a week. And you're coached, you're guided through me, through my support and the knowledge of like everything that I can give you based on my training in Ayurveda, and then also the troubleshooting and guidance through actually making these changes happen, and then also with the community of other people going through their like personal evolutions. It's like more of a co-evolutionary experience, which is really, really awesome. So this next course is starting on April 22nd. And I'm going to have 13 women, but a few people have signed up already. And if it rings true to you, if it sounds good, you're intrigued, you can send me an email. And I'm also going to do strategy sessions, 30-minute calls with ladies that want more information or just kind of want to talk about where they're at in their health right now and see if this course would be good for them, if I can assist them, and see if it can get you to where you want to go. So if you're interested in those, I'll include a link to sign up in the following emails after this call. And the first 5 people that sign up for a strategy session can get one for free. And that's basically it from my end. I'm going to go ahead. If you guys want to unmute your lines, if you have any questions or anything like that, you can let me know if you still have anything you want to talk about. And we've got plenty of time. Anybody have any questions, either related to prana, dinacharya, creating, having more prana diet, anything like that, you can let me know.
So, Anna, I have a question.
Yeah?
How do you know if you're born, like, with the more water-based body type or the more, like, earth-based body type you were talking about?
So everybody has a little bit of everything within them, but if you have more, it can show up through like your physical attributes, such as like you might have like bigger deep-seated joints, just kind of like if you have more water and earth, if you're more kapha, you'll have bigger, more deep-seated joints, just kind of like a more like girthy, like heaviness to you. And more, like, kind of rounded features, more suppleness. Probably have, like, most kapha people have, like, a really happy face. They have, like, big, like, rounded cheeks and big smiles, really big eyes. They have, like, thick, more, like, luscious hair. They tend to have more dark colors, such as, like, dark brown or black hair, dark brown or brown eyes. They sleep really well. They're like heavy sleepers and sleep for a long time. Their personality tends to be more like easy and slow going. But when it gets out of balance, they can tend more towards being like lethargic or attached or greedy or kind of depressed. And so there's kind of like all like a huge list of different characteristics for all of them. I think that you have because you have red hair, Carrie, you have, like, a little bit more fire within you. And then you're probably, like, more Pitta Kapha. But I can give you the link to my blog that, like, describes each one of them in more detail to, like, give you a better idea.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the other thing, too, is, like, we can, like, have more, like, an excess of Kapha based on, like, our life or, like, our kind of, like, our lifestyle choices. Like, ice cream is, like, really, like, kapha producing. It's, like, heavy, cold, and sweet. And kapha is, like, heavy, cold, and sweet. So if, like, someone eats a lot of ice cream on a regular basis, they're going to have, like, more kapha experience in their life.
Okay.
In other words, yeah, if that makes sense. Does that kind of answer your question?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. Cool.
Anna? This is Margie.
Yeah.
Is it beneficial to do the breathing, like the exercise that we just did, like throughout the day, or is it just more a morning or evening type activity?
Ideally, you want to do it around the same time every day, even if it's just for a little time, like even if it's just for like a minute or two. If you kind of weave it into your daily routine, such as like after you brush your teeth in the morning or something like that, it'll gain more like a stronghold in your experience. So if you do it for a little bit at the same time, pretty much any time, but you could, if you experience there's a certain time of day you know that you'd benefit more from it, such as like in the evening coming home from work, then that could be like really optimal.
Okay. Thanks.
Does anybody else have any other questions? Cool. Well, thanks so much for coming on today. I'm really happy you ladies are here. Yeah, it was fun for me, and I appreciate your participation and your questions and everything. And I'll send, Margie, I'll send you a link to the Pranayama thing, and Carrie, I'll send you a link to the blog on doshas.
Okay.
Good.
Thanks.
Take care.
Yeah. Thanks, Mari. You too. Yeah, have a great day.
Okay,
ladies.
Thanks.
I'll talk to you soon.
Okay,
bye. Okay. Bye, Anna.
Bye.